Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. We shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guest today is songwriter and guitar hero, Martin Barr. Martin has been the legendary guitarist of Jethro Tull for 43 years. His sound and playing have been a major factor in their success. Album sales have exceeded 60 million units, and they continue to be played worldwide, representing an important part of classic rock history. Martin's guitar playing has earned him a high level of respect and recognition. He was voted 25th best solo ever in the USA and 20th best solo ever in the UK for his playing on Aqualung. His playing on the album Crest of a Nave earned him a Grammy Award in 1988. Most recently, Martin Barr has announced the release of his sixth and most important solo album to date. Back to Steel celebrates the guitarist's 50-year career with a return to his roots of steel strings and electric guitars, released through Garage Records, and will be available through www.martinbarr.com, iTunes, and Amazon.com initially. Martin Barr has his band, and his band have started their 2015 tour throughout the UK and Europe, following Cruise to the Edge in November 2015 in Florida. Martin and his band will also be touring the U.S. It is my great pleasure to welcome the legendary guitarist of Jethro Tull, Martin Barr. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Wow, what an introduction.
I'm I guess humble. We're done now.
I have nothing to say. You've left me nothing to say. Wow.
Interview's over.
Yeah, see ya. Bye. Okay.
I've always regarded you as one of the top, and this is me, the top five rock guitarists of all time. I never thought you got your due, and you're the one musician who gave Jethro Tull rock and roll. Without you, there would be no rock and roll in Jethro Tull. Your riffs are intricate and unique, and every show is full of energy.
Yeah, well, I like that. Yeah, that sort of ties in with the way I feel, that I'm the sort of hard edge of Jethro Tull. So, you know, whenever Jethro Tull rocked, I like to think it was me that rocked. But it's good. It's been a great 43 years, and I'm taking the sort of hard edge of Jethro Tull, the sort of traditional way that Jethro Tull hit the States in the late 60s, early 70s, and carrying on that tradition of being a real sort of rock band with influences.
Right. Yeah, I've seen you perform about six times at different stages of Tull. I'm originally from the Baltimore, D.C. area, which is Tull, you know, all Jethro Tull. It's a very, very popular area for Jethro Tull fans. And you've always seemed to work extremely hard on stage. I mean, it's like the band's always demanded perfection. Is that pretty much it? You guys work that hard, huh?
Yeah, well, we've always had a really high work ethic, and I think from the very beginning, maybe we took ourselves too seriously with the music, but
right.
I think when other bands were partying and having a great time, we were sort of stuck in a room learning music, rehearsing music, perfecting music. And I guess you could say we were sort of Jethro dull, but we took ourselves seriously, and you know I quite like that sort of that background. It sort of made my work ethic very, very strong. But you know I love rock music, I love the blues, and I love the fact that you can get energy on stage and really motivate an audience. So that's what ticks my box right now. You know, I've got that sort of history behind me, but I use it to my advantage. And I think discipline in music's really important. But my aim is to make an audience happy.
Right,
and,
right.
I do that through making the music really, really rock.
Well, what was the songwriting steps for Jethro Tull? I mean, how did the songwriting go? Because you made now a lot of those rock and roll licks, were all created by you, pretty much?
Well, I played them.
Okay.
So, you know, the process of writing and recording music is complex, and if you sort of try and analyze who thought of what, you'd probably spend hours around a table with lawyers, and it would be pretty useless exercise. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all brought to the table our own personality, our own element to the music, and we all influenced it in bigger ways, in lesser ways, in more important ways. So it all worked, and I think the fact that it was a real contrast in personalities and styles of musical influences, that it worked so well. So, you know, it was a formula that came together, and it did the job.
Well, I'm going to give you credit for all the, you know, the great rock licks like Minstrel in the Gallery, the opening of Aqualung, mm-hmm. Locomotive Breath, New Day Yesterday, To Cry You a Song. I mean, that's, to me, all Martin Barr.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, okay, I'll take it. It's me. You can spend a lot of time analyzing music, but at the end of the day, you just, you know, you play it, and if it works
right.
Well, it sounds great, and people like it, that's all you need to know.
Well, you and Ian were such a great team together. I've mm-hmm. interviewed Ian several times, and it was pretty cool because the last interview we really got off subject. I'm known for that. We talked about the Bible, the Quran, aliens, all kinds of stuff, which is really neat to see him actually want to talk about stuff like that, because in the old days, you know, it wouldn't even be brought up. So now you're currently on a rather lengthy tour that so far extends out through January 26th and includes U.S. dates after the Cruise to the Edge tour, which, you know, I just talked to Billy Sherwood before you. As a matter of fact, he filled in for you because I guess there was some other thing you had to do at the last minute last week. But Billy Sherwood did fill in for you, and he'll be on the Cruise to the Edge as well. And
Okay.
Is this your first Cruise to the Edge?
Yeah, it is, but it's really neat because I'd heard about it and I had mm-hmm. friends that had played on it. So
right.
It's nice. I know a lot of the guys that are also in bands playing on the cruise. But it was really, you know, it sort of pushed us into the American market. And also on the back of it, you know, we're in America and we're doing tour up the East Coast, and then the next year in 2016 we're going to do the West Coast and the Mid-States. So it's great. You know, I've been wanting to come back to America for a long time, and my history is very much based in America, although, you know, I would never say that to a European or English journalist, but basically my heart and my music is evolved around what I've done in America, so it's a really, really important place to be for me. I can't wait to be back there, and I think it's going to be a really great tour.
Well, we love you here, Martin. We always have, and, you know, I've seen some footage, you know, on YouTube of your band, and it's tremendous, and I love the way you kind of improvise new ways to play Jethro Tull music. I mean, it's great. Some of your versions are better than the original.
Okay. Well, you know, I just think, you know, if you don't sort of put your own personality into the music,
right,
that, then you're missing an opportunity. And I don't want to sort of paraphrase everything that's been going on for 40 years. So
right.
Some things you can't change. Some bits of music are written in stone, and you just have to play them as they were. But I just think there's sort of room for interpretation, and a lot of other bands have done it. I just like to sort of put my own little piece of mind into the music and make it more my own. And I think because there's no flute, I have to sort of emphasize the guitar parts.
Right.
So I've changed them a bit, but I think essentially that the essence of the song and the music is still there, and I've anything I've done has made them more stronger, more rock orientated, more bluesy. You know, I'm a guitar player, and at the end of the day, I play rock music. I've always played it, and wherever Jethro Tull went, in folk or jazzy or classical or what prog, the basic thing with me was that I'm a blues rock player. I always was, and I always will be.
Well, Tull started out as a blues rock band, right, from the very beginning.
Those roots were where I started, and that's why I loved the band in 1968. You know, they were a great, exciting blues band in England, and I just thought, you know, this is the vehicle for me to get on board, and it was perfect for me. So I'm sort of going back to those roots a bit in what we do on stage, but I think that's where we found our feet in America. You know, we came to America in 69, and it was rooted around blues and rock. We're a stadium band, and we play heavy music, and I think that's really what it's all about. It's all about the power and the energy of what we do.
Now, the touring band, is that the same as the studio band? Like Dan Crisp, will he be on tour with you?
He definitely will. Yeah, absolutely.
And George Lindsay on drums and Alan Thompson on bass. Is that the touring band?
Yes.
Oh, great! Yeah. They're wonderful musicians.
They're cool. They're great, you know. And when I started 4 years ago, when I started my solo band, I had six musicians, and I sort of thought, you know, it was fun, but at the end of it, I thought, you know, I needed more space, and now we're just a four-piece band, and you know, the space to play and to express yourself is so great, and I love it. You know, the great players, we have a great feeling between the four of us,
right?
And we really have a lot of fun. We really enjoy playing, and the other guys, you know, the different age groups. Some of them are really young.
Yeah,
Dan and George are in their 20s. It's brilliant. It's a real sort of crossover, and they love the music, and we all have an important part to play on stage. So it's a real band. It's a four-piece band, and everybody is of equal importance.
You know, I've heard this a lot. You know, it's like a new phase for you, with the new band. And a lot of people have been telling me, like John Mayall, very, very similar. You know, you got a younger band of very talented musicians, and he enjoys his band now more than any other band. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's the same with me, because these young guys have got energy, they've got commitment.
Right.
They're fresh, you know, they're open to ideas. I mean, I know a lot of older musicians, and some of them are so miserable. You know, and there's a lot of people of my era, and I meet them, and I go, you know, why are you so set in your ways? Why are you so miserable? You know, you've got so much to offer. I think young musicians relight the fire, and it's really important for me. You know, I really want to be the person that has all that freshness and energy. I never want to do a gig where I feel like I'm going through a routine.
Exactly.
So every show we play is great. It's just about enjoying the moment. It's so important. I know I've done live shows for 45, 50 years, if I go back into when I was a teenager. And, you know, and playing live is such a great thing to do. It's such a precious moment every night, and it must never be anything but special.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, you got a lot. You got a long way to go to perform. You're still a young man because John Mayall's still out there. I covered a show here in Sarasota.
Yeah,
and he's in his 80s, man, and he's bringing his equipment on stage and everything himself. So yeah. I was amazed.
Well, I can relate to that. Yeah, but you know, I just love it because basically that's what being a musician is. You know, you
right.
hump your gear. You know, that's part of what it is, and I just think. The other extreme is where you're surrounded by dozens of road crew and PR
right.
people, and it's not the real world. I think the real world is, you know, being a gigging musician. It's what everybody relates to, and it keeps your feet on the ground. You know, you
yeah.
really have a basic lifestyle that's really normal, and that's what music's about. It's normal. It's about normal people.
Right.
Stories about everyday life. The music is for everybody. Mm-hmm. You're not special. You're just one of the crowd. It's about communicating with people. It's really important that you live a life that's on their level. You're not different, because different means it is not a good thing.
Right.
I don't want to be different. I just want to be, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be like every other musician.
Sure.
And I go and see gigs, and I enjoy music. I'd just be one of those people.
Now, have you incorporated some girl singers sometimes on stage with the band? I saw them on YouTube.
I have.
You have?
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah.
They're brilliant. They're great.
Are they going to be on tour with you?
They're in Europe and England.
Okay.
Unfortunately, due to U.S. visa restrictions.
Oh, man.
I'm unable to bring them to America, but maybe next year I shall work hard on bringing them over. And I was reading an interview by Derek Trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has the right attitude. He has as many people on stage as he can afford.
Right.
And his priority is having a great band. Everybody he wants is playing with him, and he makes no money.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great attitude. So I'm sort of like him, you know. If I can afford to do it,
mm-hmm.
I will do it. And
right.
the girls are great, you know. I love what they do within the music. So it's
Alex? Is that Alex and Eleni? Is that the next vocal? Yeah. Okay. Alex
yeah,
Hart
yeah,
and is it Eleni Andrea? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give them
mm-hmm.
a little plug. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah,
they're wonderful.
They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're of course, you're writing a lot more. Are you singing as well on stage?
Not yet, but, you know,
okay.
Every time we do a gig,
mm-hmm.
I sort of sing along to the choruses, and
right.
I don't have a microphone. If
okay.
I had a microphone, it would sound dreadful. But, you know, my heart says I really, really want to sing.
Yes. I think
so,
that's important.
So one day,
right.
I might, even if it's like for, you know, a couple of seconds each song, I just love, you know, I just think that, you know, the vocal part of a band is such a great, important part, and that's why I like having the girl singers, because they have
right,
all the harmonies,
right.
and I just love that part of music. I mean, I've written all the harmony parts, so I know them. I know all the harmonies, but I just can't sing them. They got a crap voice, but you know, I might take lessons.
Yeah, practice.
Indeed, sing in the shower.
You know who
every
surprised?
Day.
Yeah, sing in the shower, exactly. You know who surprised me
yeah,
was sing. Robin Trower. He sings a lot more now, and he's actually
really?
Got a deep
That's
voice.
Cool.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah, he sings a lot in his shows. Yeah.
Wow.
I've interviewed Robin.
I heard that, and I think that's really, really good. Because it's a great asset, but
yes.
I've got a lot to learn about singing, so
right.
I need to take a lot more showers.
Yeah. Well, I expect one of the albums soon to have Martin Barr singing on it. You know, you can't let Robin Trower
yeah.
do all the glory.
I won't. I promise you.
Let's talk about Back to Steel. It's your sixth solo mm-hmm. release. But you're especially proud of this one, right?
Well, it's important for me because it's mm-hmm. the first CD that I've made since Jethro Tull finished. So right. it's a real statement of what I'm all about. And it's easy enough to play Jethro Tull tracks. It's easy to do covers of Crossroads and Smokestack Lightning.
Right.
Whatever. You know, you can do covers till the cows come home. But to write your own music and say, look, this is me. These are my lyrics. This is my music. Do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
And that is laying your soul bare. And
right.
which is what I'm doing. So I need to do it because I want to have my own identity. I mean, I take a lot of pride in what I've done, and I'm very proud of Jethro Tull. It means a lot to me, but I've got a lot more. There's a lot more to me than that, and it's very important that I present the other side, and I hope that people will like what I do.
Well, it's a great album. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to give it 5 stars because it's that good. It's a great album. I loved every track. Loved every track. You still got a couple of tall tracks on there. You got Skating Away and Slow Marching Band, and the rest are all you. And I specifically like, I think I really do like the title track, Back to Steel. That's an awesome track.
Good.
Great track.
You play it on stage. And it does the job. It's good.
Very, very
thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Eleanor Rigby, what a nice twist on that.
Yeah, I think all English people have a bit of the Beatles in them because, our heritage, we're all brought up on the Beatles, and most English musicians learn every Beatles song, every Beatles album. As it came out, it was just sort of something you did. And I've always really, really loved their songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was sort of keen to do something that sort of reflects my upbringing. So, that's why I did it.
Yeah, everyone needs to listen to Eleanor Rigby on this album because it's different and sounds terrific. Yeah. It's just a wonderful, wonderful arrangement. I really love that track. Yeah. Have you hung out with any of the former Beatles? Have you done anything with them?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Be a name dropper.
Huh.
Should I drop a few names?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, I know them all. The only one I've never met is Ringo Starr.
Okay.
So I met John Lennon. I met Yoko Ono.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I've actually worked with Paul McCartney in the studio.
Oh, great!
And George Harrison, I met when I lived near his house in England.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, they're my heroes. They're the people that formulated my upbringing in music, and that everything they did was really important to English musicians. So, the Beatles weren't cool, then they were cool, then they weren't. But to me, they've always been, for a pop band, they're pretty good. And when you look at pop music, it's pretty crap. But the Beatles were never crap. They were always good. And they were, they were a chart band. They were pop music. They were teeny bopping idols.
Right.
But their music was always 100%, even the most simple songs were great songs, so they're pretty up there.
Yeah, their songwriting was amazing, and the thing that really astonishes me is how fast they wrote most of their music,
Yeah, and it wasn't easy, it wasn't sort of simple music, it was very clever and very melodic, and then sometimes, the chords were simple, but the melody was stunning, and they never did anything that was sort of a throwaway. Like you buy an album nowadays, and you'll hear a track off it and think, wow, I'll go and buy that album, and you buy it, and the rest is rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so annoying, but the Beatles, you'd buy their album and you listen to the whole album, all the way through every time. There was nothing that was done that wasn't. It passed the test, and I hope that I live up to that because I hope and believe that everything I do, you know, that you go through the whole album and enjoy it from the beginning to the end.
Well, you already have with Back to Steel. And I tell you, every Tall album is, you know, from beginning to end. You know, you can't just listen to one track from a Jethro Tull album. That's impossible. You know, every album was great. Every album was great. The only album that people were a little nervous about, I think, was Passion Play, because it was so different. But it turned out to be everybody liked it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's twists and turns in everybody's career, and nobody's perfect all the time.
Well, it was a great album. It just, you know, when it came out, you know. Yeah, when it came out, it was a little different, and people, you know, would say, what's this? And then after you listening to it a couple of times, you go, hey, this is great, you know. You need surprises every once in a while. Yeah?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Peace and Quiet was also a great track. That's a very bluesy tune. That's one of my favorites as well on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And, excellent, excellent album. Everybody needs to go out and buy this one, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Great.
You were talking about meeting the Beatles. I interviewed Julian Lennon, who's a heck of a nice guy, and Pete Best. I've talked to Pete, and I cover Ringo's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ringo's amazing because he's such in great shape, you know? He's still running around on stage and everything. What was it like working with Paul? What did you do with Paul? You were in the studio with Paul?
Yeah, for about a week, and we did demos for Flowers in the Dirt, and a couple of things I did were released in Japan, I think. But you know, it was amazing because, you know, it was somebody I was in awe of, and it was just a week in my life that I never ever thought would happen.
Right.
It was amazing, amazing.
And so, John, I've heard so many things about John. What was your take on John? Does he have that quick wit, like everybody says?
Yeah, he's just a very laid back, easy guy. You know, incredible. I mean, they all are. They incredible people.
Yeah, we miss him a lot. Miss him and George a lot. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I loved your comment on YouTube when you went. You played Thin as a Brick.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
I thought that was great.
I just thought that, you know. Well, I just thought to play the whole album is probably really hard work for the audience.
Right.
So I like to think, you know, that I give it the sort of the opposite. I give them the sort of, you know, the highlights.
That was wonderful. Yeah. That was great. I hope you continue to say that on stage.
Oh, sure. Now you've said it, I will. Yeah, I will.
You know, the other album I thought was a critically acclaimed album by you was Order of Play. I mean, the way you played the Tall songs were absolutely fantastic and brilliant. And I believe you set it up like you were playing to a live audience, right?
Yeah, we recorded it in 2 days, in two sessions. But
amazing.
Yeah, it's sort of a live album, but we did it in the studio, and it was all one take of every track. So and it was mainly because when people were coming to see the gigs, you know, they're just saying, "Well, can we buy the music you're playing on stage?" And I said no. So we just sort of needed to do it, and it sort of established to people what we were doing and the sort of basis of what the band was all about. Yeah, it was great fun to play, and sort of live in the studio. Yep.
Yeah, it sounded like you had a lot of fun with that album as well, just listening to it.
Yeah, well, you know, recording's great fun if you got the right attitude and the right people.
Right.
You know, it's sort of an extension of what you do on stage, and I just think, you know, everything to do with music, if you're not having fun, that then you're not doing it right.
Right, so you got to have fun.
Yeah, everything I do is really, really, really enjoyable.
You know, another one of my favorite songs from your solo albums is Celestial Servings from Stage Left.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that song. That's an incredible tune. You've done a lot of great work already. Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to that the other day because I was sort of flicking through all my old tracks. I listened to that. And good. Yeah, I enjoyed playing it. It was a sort of a little jam thing I did over a sequence of, you know, sort of a Dave Gilmour-ish.
Exactly. Yeah, very, very David Gilmour-ish. Have you played with anybody from Pink Floyd at all?
I haven't personally, but I know of them, so it's all part of the process.
Right. Well, you're up there in my top five with David Gilmour. He's another guy that I put in my top five, of course, and you're definitely one of the top five rock guitarists ever.
You're very, very kind.
In my opinion.
Very, very kind.
You're welcome. Are you doing most of your recording at home now? I mean, are you up to speed with all the latest technology and like everybody else?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I work with an engineer in the studio, and I just play, and the engineer does all the technology. But normal. These days it's normal. Computer. Me and the computer.
Right.
Somebody who works the computer. Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of... You have a home studio as well.
Yeah. I do. Very small, but it's it's all you need. And then I go in a bigger studio to do tracking. But it's all near where I live in Devon, so it's all really easy.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, Martin, I've got to ask this question because I know that all the fans are going to want to know.
Yeah.
I talked to Ian several times over the past few years, and I always ask him, you know, where's Martin? Why isn't Martin in the band? And he always seems to kind of dance around that question a bit.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Is there any reason why you two aren't working together anymore? I mean, is it any definitive answer? Or
no, there's no reason at all.
You guys aren't mad at each other or anything, right?
Ian made a decision, and he has to live with that decision, so...
Right.
It wasn't mine, it was his, but so he has to sort of... when somebody makes a decision in life that's sort of very, very important, you have to stand by it and live by it, so that's what he's living with. It's fine.
Tall fans miss you, you know... Tremendously,
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
But it's a good thing and a bad thing actually, because now, like you said, you got your new young band together, and you get to start all over again in a way, you know, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've got a lot of space, and I'm having a good time, so it's perfect.
That's the important thing. He's thinking the same
Fantastic.
Thing. You know, he tells me there's...
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, it's all about being happy, so, you know, I really hope so.
Yeah. Now, do you still talk with Ian?
No. Sorry?
Do you still talk with Ian at all, or no?
No, I don't. No, I haven't spoken with anybody for about 4 years, but...
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to
sign off because...
Okay.
I have somebody else waiting for me.
No problem.
Really, really rude.
Martin, is there anything else you want to promote?
You've been fantastic, and you've said some very nice things to me, so I shall say thank you.
Thank you so much, Martin, for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure.
We'll be looking for you on tour. No problem.
Please do.
Okay. Cheers.
Thanks, Ray. Cheers.
Nope.
You take care.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Be sure to purchase Martin Barr's latest release, Back to Steel, released through Garage Records and available through www.martinbarr.com, iTunes, and Amazon.com. segment of the show today welcomes another special guest, Ann Layton, who is president of Ann Layton Media, Music Services, Motivation, a multifaceted company that helps artists who need development, marketing, and or promotional services in their careers. Some of her clients include Ian Anderson and Martin Ball, Martin Barr, formerly of Jethro Tull, who we just talked to, Blackmore's Night, Grand Funk Railroad, Gentle Giant, Orleans, KKB with Bruce Kulick, which you remember from the Kiss days, Jay Giles Band's Magic Dick, The Straubs, The Family Stone, Jan Close, and that's just to name a few. Ann's worked in radio at WZIR in Buffalo, WRNW Briarcliff Manor, WFUV in the Bronx, WBUZ Fredonia, and was an editor at my favorite magazine, Hit Parader, plus freelance for a number of magazines, including Feline Wellness, Cat Fancy, Muscle Mag International, Inside Karate Kung Fu, Gold Mine, and The Fabulous Cream. Ann's plays include Reach for the Sun, which was performed by Poets Repertory Theater of Long Island, One Way to Heaven, performed by the San Antonio Living Church, and The Passion of Mary, which was read at the Kingsbridge Library Center in her own hometown of the Bronx. Her latest project is Ann Layton's poetry book, The Layton Explosion, which is currently out now. I've worked with Ann for several years now, and she's one of the best in the business. It's my pleasure to welcome Ann Layton to the Ray Shasho Show.
It's my pleasure to be on your show. Thank you, Ray.
You're very welcome. Now that I got your bio out of the way, I think we're done.
Yeah, bye.
See you next
I'm
time.
I'm still creating something. I don't know what.
I know we're pressed for time here. We're right after the Martin Barr interview. I have a couple of PR questions for you.
Okay.
First, I'd like to ask you, what is your philosophy or mission statement regarding publicity for musicians? What do you...
I've got a lot, but the main one is, where are you now, where do you want to be, and where can we get you realistically? And
right.
Then the other thing is... our job, whether you're a musician or whether you're a publicist, is really to bring it. Our job is to elevate both my job as a publicist, okay, or manager, mm-hmm. is to elevate the people that are connected to the clients, meaning you, a journalist, and also to elevate the artist. So everybody is being built. We don't break artists, we build careers.
So what about the newbies? You know, it's got to be really tough for the guys. Most of the guys that you do the PR for are, you know, classic rockers. They've been around a long time. They have a history.
Right.
Do you get many newbies from the industry?
I do, and I actually am. I've been. I mean, with Jan, I worked with Jan Close for many years doing everything, and I worked with Joe Denenzone for many years doing many things. And Joe's been building himself, and that's the great thing, is basically the artist has to be productive and proactive and take on duties. They can't just, you know, practice their, you know, they can't just bang on the drum all day.
Right.
You know, and then the other part is their job is also, again, to lift up the audience. So wherever they go, they have to be grateful for the gigs. They have to not be, you know, self-centered. They have to be interested in other people, and that's the lesson. And it is, you do work longer hours when you develop a newbie, and many times when you're trying to get a team going, well, I mean, for many years nobody wanted to touch Jan Close. And now everybody is just like, hi, how are you? Can I write songs with you? Who are you?
Yeah.
And it's like, hi, do you remember me? Nope. Okay, nice knowing you. Bye. You know. But that's not true. I'm working on an album that Dan Beck, who wrote with Dion and Dion DiMucci. That Jan and Gary Lucas put together.
Well, you've done a hell of a job with Jan, because he's everywhere now. And, you know, like you said, he came from, you know, pretty much nothing, and now he's pretty well known in the industry now.
Well, he's known. But he still has a way to go before he becomes a household name and things like that. But he's known in some households. But it's still, it takes time to develop an artist. It mm-hmm. really does. And it's like every day you have to look and see where you're at and count your blessings. Joe Denenzone, same thing. He's been playing with orchestras and college, university symphonies, and it's just that's where he's going. He is the violin guy. He's an electric violinist who mm-hmm. works with Bruce Springsteen, President Clinton, Johnny Mathis, you just name it. It's just he's there. And he does punk string arrangements, and he does Jewish weddings. He just does it all.
He'll do it all, yeah. Isn't yeah. he in, is it Stratospherious?
Stratospherious is his band.
Yeah,
yeah, yep. It's a jam band, and mm-hmm. it's a jam Prague band, and they've created a Prague, a touring Prague festival with other artists, so it's good.
Right. You know, you represent Martin Barr and Ian Anderson, you know. Mm. Why can't you get these two back together again?
you know, let's look at it differently. They're creating new music.
I know.
It's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So what Ian is doing is right for where he's at this day
True.
And age.
Yeah.
And what Ian's doing is the rock musical, or it's Jethro Tull, about the inventor that his band was named after. He's doing the right thing.
And you know, Martin, after I talked to him, he's very happy. He likes his new young band,
yeah.
and he's creating new music, new songwriting opportunities. I told him to go ahead and start singing because Robin Trower is doing it, and he's very successful at it.
Nice.
So yeah, I guess you're right. They're both very happy where they are right now. It's just
yeah.
You know,
The worst thing that the worst thing that you can do to a musician or anybody mm-hmm. is what John Kalodner, who was an A&R guy, and everybody thought he was a great A&R guy. He was a horrible A&R guy. He
right.
wanted Don Dokken and George Lynch to reunite. He wouldn't sign bands unless they could get the original singer in the band or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it
right.
was just like, don't put these guys through hell. The fans don't know. Nobody knows what George Lynch is at the end of the day. You know,
right.
just let whoever is playing guitar with Don play guitar. The rest of the guys in the band really did not like that their arguments,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there are some musicians that just, you know, you don't want to work with some musicians. You want to work with people who are productive and happy.
Right. So you have that insight, and you've been around the music industry for so long, so you're
yeah.
aware of that. You know, you can't go at it as a fan because it doesn't work. You know, it's
yeah.
like being a promoter. You know, trying to book your favorite bands, you can't do that.
Yeah, and it's not always if people don't get along well with each other. It's also where musicians' heads are at. I mean, my creativity and my knowledge and my insight in artist development is so different than it was 10 years ago. The music industry is different than it was 10 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
We're not selling CDs except for gigs.
Yeah, it's very sad, you know, because, you know,
sure.
I know you're a big fan of, you know, rock and roll and classic rock and soul mm-hmm. music, just like I am. And to see it kind of, you know, dissolving slowly, you know, and nobody there to pick up the pieces. It is sad. It's kind of sad.
Well, one of the things that I've learned, and I work with, in addition to doing my marketing, I work with a couple of indie companies like Effective Immediately PR. I just started mm-hmm. Developing a project with Tommy Merrill Artist Group and Jordy Gillespie. You know, so, and these are all youngsters compared to me.
Good. Excellent.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need people like you because all the great influencers, you know, I'm mentioning like Don Kirshner and, you know,
right.
the Dick Clarks and, you know, I'll even throw in Wolfman Jack because, you know, he knew about music, he knew about radio.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys are gone, you know. It's
well,
like, you know,
some of them are, you
yeah.
know, No, I mean Scott Shannon is still he's doing an oldies radio show.
Right.
I used to do what you do interviews. So Joan Baez mm-hmm. and I did an interview, and this was like in 1990 or something like that. And she's like, "Oh, and I love hanging out with Amy and the other one from the Indigo Girls, Amy and Emily, or
right.
at the Indigo Girls. And the lesson that Joan taught me is skew young. Learn from these kids. Because they
young. Right.
When Joan was 20 years old, she was on top of her game. And then when the Indigo Girls, Amy and Emily, came out, they're on top of their game when they were 20, 25 years old.
Right.
We have to do that.
Exactly. You know, I tell artists that all the time. I said, get involved, man, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, Billy Sherwood, you know, he'll bring in young artists to his studio, and he'll help them out. That's a great attitude.
Cool. And old artists. I mean, it was Chris Squire and Billy's first connection with Yes was really to help get the band organized and back on track again.
Right, right.
So there you go. So I'm helping Brenton Wood. You don't know this, but I'm helping Melanie and so on, because we're just in cahoots, you know, and there's the chemistry and they need me and, you know, yep. And then Melanie actually has been talking about working with younger artists at this point, in addition to just her kids. So I'm trying to figure out what I can do with some of the folks that I already work with and create a project.
I love Melanie. I have interviewed her, a rather lengthy interview with Melanie. She's great. She's an awesome artist. You know, I respect her a lot as well.
Yeah.
And hey, where's my Brenton Wood interview?
Brenton,
I'm still waiting for that.
You will be getting that. I mean, we still have to finish the album. Yeah, I mean, there's some of these artists go through turmoil, and sometimes in addition to helping older artists, you also have to help them clean house.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm a big soul guy, R&B guy, because I grew up in, you know, D.C., and you from the Bronx, so I want to see more R&B and soul out there from all the legends.
So, me too.
Got to work on that. All right, well, let's quickly talk about your latest project, The Leighton Explosion, the Ann Leighton Explosion, which is your book of poetry. I'll open up the floor to you and tell me all about it.
Okay, well, basically, I love to write, and ever since I was a kid, I've written poems. I see the world in an optimist point of view, even when I'm struggling and dying or think I'm dying, you know. Oh, so dramatic. But I also, I guess I tested well on abstract reasoning when I was a kid, so metaphors, and then my ears hear similes, so there you go.
Awesome. Now this is going to be, it's currently out. It's going to be available, I guess, in most venues like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And
absolutely.
Is there a specific, should they go to your site?
It's workinggalrockandroll.blogspot.com or Ann Leighton, A-N-N-E, Leighton.com, and click on Writers. It'll be there. I'm going to actually put it also on my main page on my website.
Oh, fantastic. What's the gist of the, is it just positive messages, or what's the gist of the story?
No, it's really based on a gal who's struggled, but is an optimist. But, yeah, I think that's probably the darkness meets light. Yin and yang.
Right. So there's a lot of you in there?
It's me. It's totally me. It's got humor. It does. B.B. Buell gave me a quote for the book. Ann Leighton is hysterical, so there you go.
Yeah,
and Dr. Seuss, but he is an influence. But so is Robert Frost and, you know, Walt Whitman and all these other people, you know, old school writers.
Right. Well, we definitely need more Ann Leighton out there in the literary world, and the Leighton Explosion is out. I advise everybody to purchase it right from her site, or wait till it's on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Anything else you'd like to promote, future plans? I know you got so many things going on.
I want to promote Phoebe Legere, actually.
Okay, good.
She's a singer-songwriter, and I just started working with her in January, and she is going to be playing in Florida sometime between January and April. So look out for her. And
okay.
It will be in the Miami-Fort Myers region somewhere.
And
so
she's a singer, also instrumental, or is
she
just
is a folk artist, and she is, the emphasis is artist, sense of humor. She's like my soulmate, and it's a joy to know her. So, yeah, Florida, look out for Phoebe Legere.
Well, we'll make sure to get her on the show as well. Okay?
Absolutely.
So we can promote all her works.
Yeah, you'd love her. I mean, she opened for David Bowie's national tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's.
How come you don't have David Bowie? He needs some help there. I don't know if he's retiring
or
what.
No, he doesn't need my help. He doesn't need
your help?
No,
everybody
fine.
Needs your help.
He does fine. David does fine.
Haven't heard from him for a while. I don't know if he's, he was talking about not touring anymore.
Yeah, you know, he had some heart surgery about a year or two or three ago.
I didn't know that.
And then there was a recent album that was, it was like a Berlin song. Berlin, that's a Lou Reed album, but it was a song that, there was a video about Berlin. You know, bless him. I love him, and he can do anything he wants. except for whatever, you know, whatever puts a strain on his heart.
Right, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just heard today, it was a Gary Rossington from Lynyrd Skynyrd had a heart attack.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I've got friends that are seriously praying for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like this whole fellowship with classic rock artists where we're all just praying for each other when, you know, if somebody just passes or something like that.
Whoa. Have you heard from Henry McCullough?
No, I mean, so Ray, many years ago, interviewed Henry McCullough, who I worked with, and Henry was the guitarist on My Love and that era with Paul McCartney. And I guess about 3 years ago, he had a heart attack, and he's still in recovery from it.
He's still in recovery.
It's just been really rough, yeah.
Yeah. Is he having any progress at all? Or?
I have no idea at
this point.
Yeah. It's something that we're all, like, watching and praying for.
Right.
Basically, I don't know if he's going to play out again.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a shame. He's such a great guitar player and songwriter as well.
Yeah, and periodically I check on Jimmy McCullough's Facebook page, and I check on Denny Sewell's Facebook page to see if they get updates, and nobody knows.
Nobody knows, huh?
Yeah, and I've not been in touch with him for a while.
Yeah. And thank you so much for being on the show today. And
thank you
for bringing Martin Barr to our show as well, and so many great artists that we've worked together with. But Anne is the kind of person that works 24/7. I can email her at 3 in the morning, and she's I get an instant response back. So
and then I go to bed.
And then she goes to bed or has another cup of coffee. Who knows? Anne, thank you so much for being on the show today. And we'll be looking out for The Leighton Explosion, which will be out very, very soon.
It's out. It's out. It's here.
It's here.
Thank
it's
you.
Here. Everybody, go to... Working Gal, www.workinggalrockandroll.blogspot.com. You can buy it directly through the site, or again, wait for Amazon or Barnes & Noble to feature it as well.
Thank you,
Anne.
You're welcome.
Be sure to purchase Martin Barr's latest CD, Back to Steel, released through Garage Records and available through www.martinbarr.com, iTunes, and Amazon.com. To contact Anne Leighton's Music Services, call 718-881-8183 or email Anne at anne@annleighton.com. That's LEIGHTON.com. Visit the official website at www.annleighton.com, and she's on Twitter, and she's on Facebook. Join me every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. Again, very special thanks to Anne Leighton for our interview today with Martin Barr and also for chatting with us. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on VBS Radio, Station 1.